Oh, I'm very sorry we didn't podcast yesterday, but we're back today with a vengeance. We're going to make up for it. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melchior. Hello, Al.
Hello, Adam. Is that some kind of sequel, podcasting with a vengeance?
Yes, exactly. It's like a somber mood because I feel really bad about yesterday. Here's what happened. Skype was broken for everyone everywhere, and I couldn't get on, and I couldn't do a show with Al. And there weren't enough people in Fort Lauderdale to do it without me. It was just Al. And Chris wasn't available, so we couldn't podcast, and we tried to answer all your questions. I felt really bad about it.
I did feel bad about it, and you know, people were wondering where we were, and at least I was able to answer some Twitter questions,
yeah.
but no substitute for the podcast.
Well, usually we go through the most added, most dropped players on Mondays. We'll do it today. We'll do it on Tuesday. Talk about the Yadier Molina injury. Corey Seager continuing to rake. Where does he rank next year? Jeff Samardzija was great. Starlin Castro's been really good. Billy Hamilton's out for the year, so we'll kind of talk about his season. And you know how it is now. A lot of start and sit stuff. That kind of thing. Al, here's your stat of the day.
All right.
Cardinals pitchers have a 2.79 ERA with Yadier Molina catching and a 3.70 ERA with Tony Cruz catching. I think I saw that on CBSSports.com. But that is interesting. What does that mean for you with Waka and Carlos Martinez? And, well, Jaime was great yesterday, so I guess it didn't... It wasn't an effect yesterday, but that's an interesting stat there, Al. That's why it's stat of the day.
I like catcher ERA about as much as I like BVP.
Yeah, but it's Yadier Molina. You know, he's the best.
Oh, Yadier. You know Yadier on us, too?
No, I've always said Yadier. I don't know why I just did that. Yeah.
you know, if there were a case where I could buy a catcher ERA, it would be a case like this because it... Look, I don't know anything about Tony Cruz as a defensive catcher at all, but I would think just by virtue of the fact that Molina works so much with that staff and Cruz barely gets to play, you would think it would have some impact. But that's a staff that I think has been headed for regression for a long time anyway. So it doesn't mean I'm going to sit Waka. It doesn't mean I'm going to not play Jaime Garcia at all rest of the season, but it doesn't change up much for me. I'm trying to think of somebody who'd be on the fringes or on the border. I think Garcia is probably the closest to that in that rotation, and I just don't think it's going to be a factor for me.
And that stat was courtesy of Matt Snyder on CBSSports.com. All right, quote of the day. Quote, you know that power's in there. We're seeing it of late. He's getting that backswing and the ball's jumping off his bat. I think the upside is unlimited. He's not going to be a 30 home run guy year in and year out, but I don't think it'll surprise anybody if he hits 25. That is Boston interim manager Terry Lovello, and that is how I've heard it pronounced, on Xander Bogaerts.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was Torey Lovullo.
I thought you were like really on the Bogaerts thing. No, I've heard it as Lovello.
I have heard the Bogaerts thing, but... First things first.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard it that way, but not on a home broadcast. But Bogaerts has 7 home runs this year. He's only 22. He's slugging .426, but he has a .323 batting average. 25 home runs. Does he have that in him? He's got 2 home runs in his last 3 games, FYI.
Well, I think he does, and yeah, he's been hitting for good power lately. I don't know if we'll see it next year. Like you said, really, you know, still a very young player. But just imagine if he adds power to everything else that he's given fantasy owners this season. I've already got him in my top 5 shortstops for rest of season and for next year. That's certainly building in the expectation that there'll be more power next year. But you know, even if he's a 15 to 20 homer guy, he's going to have some kind of value at shortstop.
Well, he hit .240 in 2014, Bogaerts. So he's hitting .323 this year. What kind of batting average would you think is most likely for Bogaerts?
I think, you know, probably right around, you know, where he is in terms of, you know, maybe .310, .320. He's a high BABIP guy. Right now his BABIP is .373, but there's a very small number of players who profiles as the types of guys that could hit for maybe a .350 BABIP year in, year out. He would be one. DJ LeMahieu would be another. There's not that many of them, but he's one, and he doesn't strike out that much to start off with. So I don't know that there's a whole lot more upside for his batting average, but if he's hitting 320,
we don't need that upside.
And I don't think he's going to regress much.
Okay, that's great. So you said that Bogarts is a top five shortstop for you next year. What about Corey Seager, who is slashing 377, 479, 607 right now?
I would say he probably will be, at least in Roto, and I'm hedging there because I'm not sure where Ben Zobrist is going to fit into the picture. And actually, I'm trying to think now whether or not Zobrist would qualify there for next year. But in any event, Machado, Correa, Bogarts, and Tulowitzki is the wild card there. So I probably would have Tulowitzki ahead of Seager, but that would still put him in the top five.
No Reyes?
No Reyes.
Okay. Injuries, news, and notes. Masahiro Tanaka not starting this week. He has a hamstring strain, so Ivan Nova will start at Toronto on Wednesday. And Tanaka hurt his hamstring bunting. Can we get rid of the DH already, Al? Can we just get rid of it? I mean, I'm sorry. Can we get rid of pitchers hitting? I apologize. We need to institute the DH worldwide.
I've been so against that. I feel like I'm starting to crack on that a little bit.
Hey, all right. All right.
I'll miss maybe when Bartolo retires.
That's fair. That's a compromise.
I can go for that.
I can handle that. Aaron Nola might not start again. Do we have any update on that, on Aaron Nola?
The last I saw, which I think was maybe yesterday morning, was that the Phillies were reversing on that and thinking that they probably would start him over the weekend. That's the latest I've seen. So seems to be going back and forth, and I don't think there's any definite decision there.
Jacob deGrom is going to start this week, but he's just going to have that start pushed back. Chris Sale likely being pushed back to Thursday at the Yankees. Dan Herron will be skipped this weekend. Jimmy Nelson is out for the season. Adam Jones was out with back spasms, but should play today. They got rained out anyway, but he would have been out with back spasms. And Chase Utley played third base last night with Justin Turner out and Howie Kendrick back. And Minnesota called up an outfielder / first baseman, Max Kepler. Any interest in him?
Not in redraft leagues, just because I don't really see where there's going to be playing time for Kepler. But, he's a good Dynasty League pickup.
Oh, speaking of playing time, let's go to standout number one from yesterday's games. And it's not just yesterday's games, it's all of September. Starlin Castro is batting .444 in September with 4 home runs and 15 RBI. Well, it would have been cool if that were 14 RBI since we had so many fours there.
Mm-hmm.
But he got that extra one out. But no, he's playing great. I guess kind of looks like a different player right now since getting benched. Castro is 64% owned. Is this a guy that's worth starting, Starlin Castro?
In Roto leagues, he's definitely worth starting. In points leagues, or I should say head-to-head league, because even in head-to-head categories, I'm not so sure because he's been playing more lately. It's hard to see how Joe Maddon could keep him out of the lineup with this kind of production. And so maybe he'll just continue to play more and more. But even, recently he's had a couple days off a week. And so that's kept him out of the top 10 in head-to-head formats, both at second base and at shortstop over the last, I think, 28 days or maybe the last 30 days, actually.
Interesting.
So, you would think with those stats that even, with just, semi-regular playing time, he'd be at least top 10. But he isn't. So I think probably you could start him in most formats, but that's just something to be aware of. And, if you're in a weekly lineup league and so you've got that one more weekly lineup to set next Monday, definitely pay close attention to whether or not Castro gets days off between now and then because that could be important.
So when was the last time you checked that last 28 days stat?
Yesterday I checked it for some players.
Okay, cool. Kirk Castro, he's now fourth over the last 28 days. And when you, in points leagues.
In points leagues?
Yeah, when you look at that stuff, I'm not telling you, just in general.
No, cause for him, I looked at it yesterday.
Really?
And he was, Now, I looked at 30 days because I was matching it up to some other stats I was looking at, which were 30. But, I mean, those 2 days shouldn't make that much of a difference.
They might. You know, that's the thing with these 28 days is, you know, like, for example, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 through 10 or 2.5 points apart. It's like one good game could boost you up quite a bit.
And yeah, well, apparently it did. So,
or did he homer yesterday, or did he just double?
Two doubles, I believe.
Two doubles yesterday, right. Yeah, that's
so, yeah, big game yesterday, and if you extend back the extra 2 days, which I did, which were games that I think he didn't start and he just pinch hit or something, yeah, that apparently made the difference between ranking 14th and ranking 4th.
14, 4. See all the fours that are coming?
That's his lucky number.
He started 4 games in a row, by the way. Oh, you know what? I don't think he did. I think he started 3 out of 4.
All right, well, you know, but I'm glad you brought that up, because if it's, you know, that small of a margin that makes Castro, you know, go from the appearance of being not startable to being startable in a head-to-head league,
right?
Go ahead and start him.
All right, Al, I'm going to start him. Jeff Samardzija, not sure I'm going to start him. Even coming off a one-hitter, Miguel Cabrera wasn't in the Detroit lineup. Amazing start for Samardzija at the Yankees this weekend. That doesn't feel like a good one for him.
Not at all. Not at all. Even if Cabrera had been in the lineup, the Tigers just haven't really been that potent offensively lately. And certainly without Cabrera, that's not a good lineup at all. And I think the BABIP gods are just smiling on Samardzija. Let's see if I had it up here before. I don't now. But I had his BABIP up for the game. I think it was, if I'm going by memory now, 045. And it's not like he had, you know, a ton of strikeouts. So, I mean, there was a pretty good sample of balls in play there. And he did pretty much what he's done since the All-Star break, which is allow a lot of fly balls and, you know, get whiffs at just a merely decent rate. And he's been getting hit hard up in the four-seamer, just in particular. The whiff rate really down on that. And there's been a big decrease in the spin rate on that four-seamer. Those things usually go together. So, yeah, I'm not trusting Samardzija regardless of the start.
Are you, well, let me, forget that. We'll move on. Any standouts from yesterday that you want to discuss?
Let's see. Well, you already talked about Castro, so that's, certainly the biggest one. In the way of a negative standout, Chris Archer with another not very impressive outing. Not really been that good in the month of September.
No, he hasn't. He's walking a lot of guys. I think he has 17 walks, Chris Archer, in his last 5 starts.
Yeah, well, I just looked at the breakout for September. I think it's 4 starts now in September with 14 walks. So either way you slice that, not very good. I think that's the key to Archer's problem. And it's a little discouraging because he really, you know, that's something that really dogged him last season at times. And he was very inconsistent and that he'd seem to have better control. And then that would get him in trouble again. And this year, up until recently, that's not really been the case. So I don't know if it's possibly a fatigue thing with him or just one of those stretches, but it definitely hurts his value a little bit going into next season.
Well, this weekend he's at Toronto, and I was going to say going into yesterday's start that you're starting him in a seasonal league, but in a daily league and daily fantasy, I wasn't going to play Chris Archer because he doesn't pitch well against Boston. They kind of have his number. And he actually only gave up 1 earned run, I think, in 5 innings, but struggled a little bit with the walks, as we mentioned. He's got a 3.74 ERA against Boston. This year against Toronto, Archer has a 0.93 ERA in 4 starts over 29 innings. And he's just great against them, but not pitching very well right now. He's still pitching okay. It's not like he's getting crushed or anything, just wild. Would you start Chris Archer this weekend at Toronto in a daily lineup league?
You know, I would, even though it's really the worst matchup any pitcher can have. And, he hasn't been that good lately, but I just think if you round up all the pitchers that are available to you, there's so many that you could say that about that, you know, they're kind of struggling down the stretch and the matchup might not be ideal. So he's just been so good for so much of the year that I would just hope that this is the start that, if as unlikely as it might seem against Toronto, that this is the start where he turns it around.
Anyone else?
Honestly, no real standouts.
All right, I got you covered. We got plenty on the show. But good. FanDuel, hey, listen, 2 weeks left in the fantasy season. There's actually more weeks left in FanDuel because you can play during the postseason. That's actually kind of when I got started last year with baseball, playing some postseason baseball. That's when I really fell in love with FanDuel. October 2014. Mark it on your calendar. But go to FanDuel.com. Sign up if you haven't already. Use our offer code CBSPOD. Great offer for you. If you use CBSPOD, first of all, you're going to show your support for our podcast, and you're going to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar up to $200. Again, that offer code is CBSPOD, P-O-D. And look, FanDuel, you get a budget. You have to make a lineup. Every player is priced. We try to help you out, tell you who's got a good value. You want some strikeouts. That's very important. And you can win some real money. That's the number one daily fantasy site. They pay out more than any other site. So go to FanDuel.com, sign up, use that offer code CBSPOD, and get started today. The most added and most dropped players in CBSSports.com leagues. We were going to take a look at this yesterday, but hey, Tuesday works as well. Number one is Starlin Castro. Number two is Tommy Pham, who actually made the list today of, we have six up, nobody down today. So we'll go right to Tommy Pham. He's 12% owned. 1-for-4 yesterday with a triple, but over his last seven games, Pham is batting 7-for-27. I'm not sure what the average is, but very good. Actually.
Well, wait a second.
No, that's not that good.
That can't be right.
It's gotta be better than that.
It is. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'll look it up while you talk about other stuff.
Wait, come on. Yeah, yeah. It's 9-for-27. You do it, Al. Just do it.
Okay. 9-for-27's not bad, though. That's 333. That one I know.
9-12 plus 9, 9-for-24.
Even better.
In his last six games, 9-for-24. So I think it might be 9-for-27 or 10-for-27 in his last seven. You know what? It doesn't really matter.
I just did it, and I'm getting 10-for-24, so he keeps getting better.
And that's, he's hitting well.
And that's 417.
He's hitting well. Can we say that?
We could definitely say that.
I apologize for that little flub. Tommy Pham is hitting well. He's 12% owned. What do you think?
You know, it's a real struggle in terms of what kind of action to take with Pham because, well, you know, first of all, he's doing this in a, you know, we're talking about a six game sample and he's been good at other stretches before, but, you know, he still hasn't played that much overall. And that, you know, you do have to wonder that if he has just, you know, a couple of bad games, say maybe over the weekend and then going to next week, how much is he going to play in the final week? So that's probably my biggest reservation. If I could be certain that Pham was going to play close to every day from here on out, I would pick him up in a five outfielder league because he's got power and he's even a little bit of stolen base potential there, even though we haven't really seen it realized this year. But he's an intriguing guy if he just continues to get an opportunity to play regularly.
Okay, back to the most added list. After Tommy Pham is Henry Owens at number 3, Irvin Santana 4, Martin Perez 5, Jason Worth 6, JT Realmuto, 7. Eduardo Rodriguez, who started last night, 8. Eric Johnson, who started yesterday, 9. Matt Moore, Yolish Chacin, who started yesterday, and Shin-Soo Choo, who has been tearing it up lately. Definitely better than 7 from his last 27. That's your 1 through 12. Anything stand out to you?
I mean, we've got a few two-start guys that, you know, going forward aren't really going to be that impactful. I mean, Chacin is sort of interesting to me just because he's performed a lot better than I would have thought, but his FIP is over 5. So I think he is still just the same old Yuli Chacin. So you know what they say about Chacin in fantasy.
What do they say?
Yeah, they say you don't own Chacin in fantasy.
Right.
Yuli Chacin.
Yuli Chacin. Now, one thing you should know about Shin-Soo Choo that I would have loved to have told you yesterday, and you might know it anyway, is that he's not very good against lefties. He's batting .232 against lefties, but Chu has a 900 OPS against righties, .398 on base, and a .502 slugging percentage. This week, not necessarily a great week for Chu. Felix Dubront's on the schedule. He's a lefty. I don't know if that's scary, but Scott Kazmir and Dallas Keuchel are also on the schedule. And tonight he faces Sean Nolan, and I don't know the handedness of Sean Nolan.
He's a lefty.
No,
it's a terrible week for left-handed Rangers hitters.
Yeah. You know, if the Rangers don't win the... I don't know why I'm talking about this on the podcast. I was just kind of thinking about this to myself. If the Rangers don't win the division and they face the Yankees in the wild card, should the Yankees start Masahiro Tanaka or Cece Sabathia, who is, and all year long, has been awesome against lefties?
I actually didn't realize that his splits were that good.
I'll look him up for you, but yes, all year long, great against lefties.
I think there might be an argument there.
Isn't that crazy?
Sabathia going first.
Sabathia's been pitching better lately, Al. I was planning on talking about him yesterday, but he's got this knee brace, seems to be helping. Any interest at all in AL only, maybe?
Sure, in AL only? Yeah, that's it's not a really ringing endorsement.
Well, let me tell you, since the All-Star break, he's got like a 340-ish ERA, 358, and 104 in three starts in September. And against lefties, they have a 532 OPS this year.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
Anything Game one.
Else? There's no way they do that, but anything else from the most added list?
Let's see. I mean, like I said, it's a lot of pitchers that aren't going to be that relevant going forward. Eduardo Rodriguez is on here. I think he's just got one more start now.
Okay. Well, it does this week, right?
Yeah. So he's up to 73% owned, so don't count on him for next week.
Let's see what Chris Heston does, because I picked him up in a league but did not start him as a two-start guy. It's like I didn't really want him starting against me. The mm-hmm. venues weren't bad for Heston, but he's just been pitching so poorly lately.
Yeah, good venues, pretty good matchups for Heston. And I'm with you. I didn't trust him at all this week. So, I know Heath was really excited to get him in a points league, but basically he didn't really have good relief alternatives. So he was just looking for somebody to give him positive points. I think that's about the most you could expect from Heston in a two-start week.
Two other guys, Marcus Stroman, 52% owned, and Rich Hill, 6% owned, double-digit strikeouts and two straight starts for the journeyman.
Yeah, two really great starts in a row, historic, really. And he's a SPARP. You can use him in a relief slot.
Is he good, though, or is he just going to get destroyed next time out?
I'm trying to remember now who he's facing. It's the Orioles, I think.
It is the Orioles. Yeah.
That should be a really good matchup for him. Now, how he's managed to have these two starts in a row that he's had doesn't make sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, I think against the Orioles, the Orioles don't hit lefties very well, and they're a very impatient, team offensively. And, you know, while Hill has had really good control of these two starts, that's not really been his calling card. So even if he slips up there, he could probably get away with at least a decent start against the Orioles.
All right. Very interesting. And Stroman, I'm surprised he's only 52% owned. I think if the full season were in full swing, Stroman's probably 90% owned right now.
Yeah, and I agree with that too.
Cool. Billy Hamilton is out for the season now.
That's a shame.
When he got hurt, when he first got hurt about a month ago, August 18th, he hurt his shoulder. He was the number 36 outfielder in points leagues, number 18 in Roto. And he was batting .226 and batting ninth for much of the season. I am excited, actually, if I could get him at a discount next year. Because if he just hits .240 or .250, you're talking about top 15 in Roto, top 30 in points. I mean, this guy could have stolen 80 bases. I'm not sure what he was on pace for, but he had 54 steals in, like, what, 100 and... How many games did he play? Up to that point, I'm not sure, but through August 18th, he had 54 steals. So he still had a month and a half almost.
Yeah.
80 might be... 80 is a reach, but 70
yeah,
isn't.
70, sure. Yeah, no, I like the way you're thinking about it. I think you would be able to get him at a discount next year, and I really don't understand why the batting average is as low as it is for him. And we've seen this with speedy guys where you know, they can half off years with the batting average. I mean, I think about, you know, D. Gordon. I think his first season was a 300 season, but then he had a couple years after that with pretty low averages. But, you know, we've seen the last couple of seasons, you know, what Gordon is capable of doing. So I think Hamilton, you know, should be able to do much better than 240, 250. And the stolen base efficiency is so much better this year.
Now, it's kind of interesting. So Hamilton's value in roto leagues is so obvious, right? You're gonna win that category. But I want to look at a team here that's in fourth place in our Memorial Roto League and see if he has Billy Hamilton, because he is leading in steals. Well, anyway, in our other Roto League that I'm in with you, Heath, I'm pretty sure, has Billy Hamilton. And, yeah, this guy who's leads in steals doesn't have Billy Hamilton. But anyway, one of the points I was trying to make, Heath has Billy Hamilton, and he leads in steals, but he leads by so much that it's almost like the value is, at some point you kind of lose the value.
Sure.
Well, actually, damn it, Al, I'm sorry. He only leads by 8, but he leads the next guy by over 30.
Well, all right. So, yeah, that one standings point probably, you know, isn't worth what he likely had to pay for him. But, yeah, it's a tricky thing. And, you know, this is the big debate that Scott and I were having back in March. And, you know, Scott, unfortunately, is not here, but, you know, I think I could be pretty faithful in saying that a part of his argument was that Hamilton doesn't give you anything other than steals. So you're really, you know, sacrificing your other categories. I think that's probably wound up being true. But I didn't expect it would be. And I think next year it's not going to be like that. Like you said, if he hits 250, he's not, you know, he should be able to give you something in other categories.
Yeah. I was thinking it would be runs. I was thinking it would be runs. And because he hit at the bottom of the order and because he hit so poorly, it really wasn't.
Not when the Reds bring their new manager in, whoever that is, right?
Yeah, hopefully he bounces back. Okay, six up. Charlie Blackmon stole his 40th base of the season. 40 steals, Al. That's pretty darn good. Yeah, he's better against righties. He's better at home than on the road, but those steals travel.
Yeah, the steals travel. It won't be enough for next week, I don't think. I wrote a column late last week about kind of looking at the last 2 weeks and what players might you be able to actually drop or at least bench that you might consider, you know, startable players. And Blackmon in week 26, the splits aren't going to work in his favor. So, you know, enjoy what you get from him this week.
Why, he's got lefties on the road?
I have to look at it. I know it was road starts. I don't remember what the lefty righty split was, but yeah, that's the thing. The overall stats for him have really been terrific, but you really do have to pay attention to the venue and the matchup for him.
That would be very gutsy, Al. Benching Charlie Blackmon or dropping Charlie Blackmon? Because he's one of the best outfielders in fantasy. And he's played half his games on the road.
Yeah. And actually, God, I wish I had that in front of me, because the road numbers, I know it is that he's actually hit for more power on the road this year.
Yes, he has.
But he strikes out so much more often.
The batting average is dreadful on the road compared to very good at home.
Yeah,
at
it's
home,
not a good batting average or an on-base percentage. So I don't know. I don't even really feel like it's that gutsy, to be honest. I buy the splits for him.
Okay. All right, Al. Jorge Soler hit a pinch hit home run yesterday.
Did you just call him Jorge?
Not on purpose. Jorge Soler hit a pinch hit home run. Now, it's great that he hit a home run, but it was a pinch hit home run. Are they going to find enough playing time for him? He's 62% owned.
I really don't think so.
Yeah.
So, he's going to have to make the most of these opportunities, but I wouldn't be starting him outside of a really deep league.
Can I call Jacoby Ellsbury Joe Kobe Ellsbury? Like, that actually kind of works.
Sure, go ahead.
Jacoby Ellsbury, last 5 games, 9 for 20, with no extra base hits, 1 steal, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. But 9 for 20, yeah, cool.
It's something. Is this, I think this is a reverse jinx, no?
Yeah, I'd say so. He might have to do a little bit better. for it to be the full reverse jinx, but it's something of a reverse jinx, sure.
Yeah, he's just warming up. Yeah, I would keep him in my lineup for a five outfielder league, but it's not enough for me to get him active in a three outfielder league just yet.
Adam Lind. Just wanted to talk about him overall. Number 16 first baseman in points, number 15 in roto. But I bet if you were in a roto league that had on base percentage, he'd be higher because Adam Lind's OBP, really, really good this year. I'm guessing it's around 370, 380. Since May 1st. So basically, Lind in the first month was great. He hit 333 with four homers. He had a 975 OPS. Since May 1st, 838 OPS, 16 home runs as he hit his 20th last night. And a 283 batting average, 370 on base. Just not a lot of power. Anyway, what are your overall thoughts on Lind this year?
That's pretty much it. It's amazing that how skewed my perception of players can be this late in the season by an early start, a good early start, because I was surprised looking at Lind's stats. He's got fewer home runs than Chris Davis, K-Riss.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Davis has 21?
I think K-Riss has 23.
23? And he has 20.
And I know he's been, incredibly hot lately, Davis, and, a lot of power. And he's capable of that. But I still thought that Lind would have more than that. So the fact that he's just got 20, it really, really surprised me. So, and he too has very lopsided splits. So he's great at home, especially against righties. But apparently it's not enough to give him a better slash line.
Yeah, and K-Riss Davis, three homers in his last seven games. Both he and Lind homered yesterday. Davis hitting very well. How about Domingo Santana, another Brewer? What's this Brewers time? All right. With Milwaukee, Domingo Santana hitting 292, 387 on base.
They've got a new GM, so what better time is there?
Sure.
Take stock of the personnel.
He might have a good young player. Santana, 387 on base, 551 slugging percentage. So that slugging, that OPS is way over 900 with Milwaukee. That's in 106 plate appearances. And he's stolen a base in two straight games. What do you think about Santana, 16%?
I mean, this is just so encouraging for him. And after him doing very little in a few stints with the Astros, I mean, where he struck out at a really crazy rate. Strikeouts are clearly more under control now, and he's just an all-around producer. So, I imagine he's probably going to be kind of trendy going into next season. The power is the one thing that I think is absolutely legit for Santana.
Nobody down today. We talked about Jeff Samardzija and Chris Archer. Shelby Miller, starter sit this week at Miami. He hasn't won since mid-May.
Yeah, I'd sit Miller.
Even at Miami?
Even at Miami. Hey, the Marlins are actually really not that bad lately.
I'll take your word for it.
it's a nice matchup, but not enough for Miller, who, between the lack of run support and what he's just producing on his own, it's the matchups don't really excite me that much for him.
And Frenchy starting pitchers, start Eduardo Rodriguez at Baltimore against Baltimore at home this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I think the same argument that I made about Rich Hill would apply there to Rodriguez, although he certainly hasn't shown quite the upside that Hill has shown in his two starts. But, I think he's good enough to do well against a Baltimore team that's pretty, pretty aggressive, overly aggressive.
How about A.J. Burnett at the Cubs this weekend? He just pitched pretty well, actually, at Colorado, and a double play that they weren't able to turn was really the difference in this game for Burnett, having a great start and just a good start. Gave up a home run after that double play at Chicago this weekend.
Yeah, and I feel good about that start for Burnett.
All right, he doesn't have a quality start yet since coming back. He's not, going very deep into games. Maybe they're being conservative with him, so just keep that in mind. But he's doing a pretty nice job.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Anderson was not good yesterday. Brett Anderson gave up five earned. Fourth time all season Anderson allowed more than three earned runs. But that's a byproduct of pitching well, but also not pitching very deep into games. He has pitched 100 pitches, thrown 100 pitches only six times this year. And I had all those notes, and I was going to, oh, this could be an interesting starter sit for the weekend, but he's at Colorado, so.
Yeah, this looked like a bad week for him because of that start, not because of the one against Arizona. But they hit lefties pretty well. So, yeah, I guess just wasn't really good. Not lining up to be a good week for him at all.
John Neese, six scoreless innings, three hits, two walks, two strikeouts. That's two good ones in a row. But they both came against Atlanta. Now he faces Cincinnati on the road this weekend. Starter sit Neese.
I would still sit him, even though the Reds are a pretty good matchup, too. But yeah. I chalk up Neese's success in those two starts almost entirely to the opponent.
Eric Johnson, 15% owned. Good start yesterday at Detroit with nine strikeouts and six innings, two runs. Three quality starts and four starts for Eric Johnson at the Yankees this weekend.
Now, that matchup scares me for Johnson. And I actually didn't expect that he would do that well against the Tigers. But like you said, Cabrera not in the lineup, and I may have overestimated them as a threat anyway. So yeah, I imagine probably not going to be a good start for Johnson against the Yankees.
Is John Lamb a sleeper going into next year with his 14 walk, 48 strikeout ratio in 43 innings? Only two quality starts and eight starts, so he hasn't been very good, but peripherals, is John Lamb enticing next year?
Yeah, I think he'll be a sleeper. People will take a look at that strikeout to walk ratio, but again, it's what happens when the contact is made against Lamb. And he's a big time fly ball pitcher, who's going to have a home park that's not going to help him out at all. But, I do expect better things from Lamb next season. And, maybe the start that he had Monday against the Cardinals is, the first of some better ones to end up the season.
And in the bullpen, Robbie Ross has gotten three saves in 3 days for the Red Sox. Is he clearly their closer?
I would say so, yeah.
All right, Robbie Ross is 5% owned. If you need some saves, not going to get one tonight, I would imagine. Three saves in 3 days. But he's available in 95% of leagues. We'll read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And then Al's going to help you out with some FanDuel. Oh, you know what? I should actually use the emails that I was going to use on yesterday's show, but, I'll save those because I think a lot of those were starter sit. So here's okay. One from Reggie. Can Michael Conforto hit 25 home runs in 2016?
I think he can. I think that's a good place to probably set the over under for Conforto. I'm sort of hedging on which way to lean on that, but 25-ish sounds like a good target to expect from him.
And yes, yeah, Scott liked Conforto this week. He liked the matchups, a lot of righties on the schedule. Here's an email from James. I'm in the semifinals of my league. We do year-long roto and head-to-head. I just snuck into first in roto and will need to hang on for the next 2 weeks. As far as head-to-head goes, I picked up Eduardo Rodriguez yesterday. We have no bench, but other than the DL. I have Daniel Norris and Stroman that I haven't activated yet. I was thinking to slot Norris in today and then drop Eduardo Rodriguez and then go Stroman Wednesday and drop Norris. ERA and WHIP are close, but I also need to hang on to wins. So he picks up, he starts Eduardo Rodriguez, which is what he did yesterday, drops him, and starts Daniel Norris and then Stroman later in the week.
Well, I definitely like the Stroman move a lot. It's like, it seems like I've gotten a lot of questions about Norris. And, that last start he made was just 3 2/3 innings, and it was kind of a last minute thing because he was supposed to come in piggybacking off of Anibal Sanchez, who wasn't healthy enough to start. So if nothing else, I don't expect a lot of innings from Norris, and I don't know that I expect a lot of quality from Norris.
Yeah, he's pitching today against the White Sox, and I don't know.
I don't really like that, and it's sort of odd that he seems to be a go-to guy for quite a few people based on the questions that we're getting. But I wouldn't start him.
And those emails yesterday were really all just lineup questions. So you know what, Al? You tell us about FanDuel, won't you?
All right. Well, Jake Arrieta is going tonight. He is $12,300, and he's at least a couple grand more than everybody else. But he's just the obvious guy that I think you have to go with. And that means you got to go pretty cheap with hitters. But fortunately, there's so many really bad starters going tonight that there's a lot of hitters to choose from. So here's who I've got. I've got James McCann, a catcher, against Quintana, a good lefty, but McCann really good on base against lefties. So 2,400, I like that. And then you talked about Sean Nolan earlier.
Yeah.
Lefty going against the Rangers. Now that's not great for Shin-Soo Chu or Mitch Moreland, but it's great for Mike Napoli, who's been actually just playing regularly lately. And I even thought about getting, Elvis Andrus into my lineup at 2,800, but I came up with somebody I like even better that I'll get to. But Napoli and Andrus, not bad against Sean Nolan and the A's. I've got Starlin Castro there at 3,100. And that's against, Tyler Cravey. So, getting Cubs in your lineup is, in addition to Arrieta's, is a good thing. And, the shortstop that I like even better is Addison Russell at 2,700. So those are the two Cubs that I got in the lineup. And then, tried to pick on Kevius Sampson for the Reds, and all I could afford was Matt Carpenter because he's 3,800, but I think he's completely worth it. And then my outfield, here's where I went cheap. Brandon Guyer, big game last night, gets another lefty tonight in Henry Owens, really good against lefties, and he's only 2,400. And then, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you call somebody who rearranges their whole lineup to get Michael Conforto in there?
A Confortist?
A Confortionist.
A Confortionist.
But I'd have to be too much of a Confortionist because he's only 2,700 and he's got Matt Wisler.
Okay.
That's a great matchup. And then along the same lines, Curtis Granderson, 3,400. So that's my lineup and, some good pitchers to pick on there.
Yeah. Guthrie is starting tonight. You could pick on him, especially with lefties.
Yep.
Although Cano does not have great numbers in his career against Guthrie. Cano hasn't, let's see what his price is. 3,200. That's really not bad. If you don't go Arrieta, you could go Salazar at 9,100. You could go, that might be it. Those might be the only two that I'm strongly considering. Although the way Irvin Santana's been pitching, it's 6,900.
Yeah, I like him as a tournament option.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a 50-50 lineup that I just talked about. And I think even, Salazar, I wanted to call him Santana. I think Salazar's the runner-up, but I think it's just not even close, even with the price differential. Arrieta has thrown 17 consecutive quality starts with an ERA of 1.01 over that span.
Brian Dozier is 2,700. He's been really bad, but he has very good numbers in 15 at-bats. He's 8-for-15 with 2 home runs and 3 doubles against Salazar. And he sat Sunday, and they didn't play yesterday. So finally a little bit of rest for him. Paul Molitor talked about how he needed to rest Dozier, and then he played him back-to-back games in a doubleheader. But then he rested him on Sunday. So that's kind of how you win sometimes in big tournaments is you take a shot on guys who are struggling, right? Like a Todd Frazier, and you hope that this is the day they break out of it. Because when are you going to get Brian Dozier for $2,700 usually? And if you put Jake Arrieta in your lineup, you're going to need to save money. And now I pretty much every day, the first name I put in is Ben Revere. You bat lead off for the Blue Jays and you're $2,800.
Yeah, good point. Even against Severino, huh?
Because Severino, yes, for $2,800, yes. And the last time Severino faced the Blue Jays, I don't know if he got out of the second inning. If he did, no, he didn't get out of the third.
The third inning, yeah.
It was by far his worst start. So, I don't know. Just too much opportunity there what's his name? Ben Revere. Ender Inciarte, again, is priced in that range, but I didn't start him yesterday against a lefty, and he's facing another lefty today, so I wouldn't recommend him. And that's pretty much all the research I've done now. I left this to Al. Henry Owens, by the way, a left-hander who has reverse splits, doesn't do well against lefties. So if you have money to spend, Logan Forsythe could be a good option for you.
Yeah, that is a good one. That is a good one.
But I don't have any money to spend because I took Jake Arrieta. Al, thank you very much, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Adam.
Back tomorrow with another one. Have a great day. I'm Adam Azer for Al Melchior on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.